This week's mailbag comes to us from Jill. Let me tell you how amazingly easy it was, in light of the current COVID-19 situation, to simply pick up my workbox, add my favorite colored pens to it, and decamp to work remotely for the foreseeable future. Do you have an Organize 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting, functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started.
Well, this is unfortunate. As you can imagine, I record my podcast episodes weeks in advance, and actually, it has taken me 5 years before I've gotten to the point where I am 6 to 8 weeks in advance of recording my podcast episodes, which makes Mary, our content editor, and Amanda, our podcast producer, super, super happy. Mary is an ICU nurse in Chicago, so she needs to be able to listen to the podcast episodes whenever it fits into her schedule. And Amanda homeschools her kids and is currently traveling around the United States, although they have stopped in one location during the pandemic. So both of them work for Organize 365 in the nooks and crannies of their day. And so out of respect, I try to get my podcast episodes to them as soon as possible. And when we recorded these podcast episodes for April about how to plan a big project, I used the examples that I was planning in the beginning of March, which was Abby's graduation party, probably not going to happen. I mentioned planning a wedding a couple of times. I know many of you have weddings on the calendar that are being canceled or rescheduled or being done with less than 10 people in attendance. I talk about moving, which is getting really hard to do right now as we are all at the current time of this recording in social distancing. And some of us are in a state where we are not allowed to interact at all. And I also talk about planning fun activities for your kids this summer and signing up for camps, which seems like such a dream now, doesn't it? We are going to go ahead and air these podcast episodes because how you plan a big project didn't change just because how we're living our life today changed. And I've been doing my podcast for over 5 years, and I know that many of you go all the way back to the beginning and listen through those podcast episodes, and you know much of what I said 5.5 years ago isn't as applicable today, but the principles of organizing never change. Once you learn the skill of organizing, which many of us did not learn as kids, it takes learning and skill to develop organization and then the productivity that comes from organization. This is how I do it. This is how I break down a huge project into multiple steps. And over the course of April, you're going to follow along as well. I really hope that I do not trigger you by talking about graduation parties or weddings or planning summer vacations that may have gotten canceled. The only counsel I can give you is that this is just 1 year in time. And while, yes, this is Abby's senior year and this is her graduation party, it will forever be remembered, right? Like, her graduation party will be remembered way more than Joey's in the year of the global pandemic. I am trying to provide as much real-time encouragement, motivation, perspective, love as possible. It's easier for me to do that through social media than through the podcast, although I'm trying, and we're even putting up bonus podcasts if they're a Facebook Live that's resonated with a lot of people. We would love for you to join our Facebook community. Just search Organize 365 and find the group and ask to join and answer the few questions there. And if you want to see how I'm handling this as a wife, as a mother, as a CEO, as a puzzle lover, as a dog owner, follow me on Instagram. I share a lot more in my Instagram stories than I do even in Facebook or on the podcast. We are in this together. Many of us are now together at home, and now you're looking around thinking, ooh, I really need to get this home organized. Organize 365 is still shipping out products, but most of what we have is digital. So when you place your order, you'll get the digital assets right away. And we've cut our shipping down to 1 to 2 days a week just to minimize the number of people in the office. And we just have one or two people go in and do that shipping so that we maintain our social distancing as well. We will all get through this together. I hope you enjoy these podcast episodes. And again, I'm sorry that the projects that I was talking about are no longer projects that we are currently planning. Week four. Okay, this is the week where you're like, oh, this is what I normally do. But I'm going to have you do in a little bit different order. So we've been talking in the last four podcasts about how do you take a big project, a big goal, how do you break it down? Number one, get a box, empty your brain and all of those to-dos onto pieces of paper, put them in the box so that all of your ideas have a place to go. They become real, they get out of your head, and your brain is left to be the awesome computer that it is to think big picture, to assimilate things, to find solutions to your problems versus being a to-do list holder. Week two, take all of those ideas and put them into slash pockets of how you think that the project is going to go. Group like items with like. All the food items are over here. All of the invitation items are over here. All the warranties and manuals are over there. Like, try to find some kind of a semblance of an order to how this project can be done. Week three, we're going to go through those slash pockets and we're going to realistically look at what we want to do and the amount of time that we have available to us. And we're going to go through the one thing question, that is, what is the one thing such that by doing it, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary? And the other thing that I do in step three is I physically lay out in front of me the slash pockets in the order in which I think they will happen. So for the graduation party, pretty much nothing can happen until I order the invitations, right? The invitations have to be ordered before they can be sent. Our budget has to be set before I can decide what we can do in our house and what we can provide for the party. So what order do things happen? I lay the slash pockets out in front of me in order, and then I open up my calendar and I look at how much time I have available to me between now and when this goal or project is going to come to fruition. Now, like I said last time, if you're planning your summer plan, you can get a good 3 to 5 hours and knock out the majority of these slash pockets. So let's go through that one first. Let's say you did that. You took 3 to 5 hours, you eliminated all of those possibilities that weren't going to work this year budgetarily or for the age and lifestyle of your kids. You did some research and you asked your friends, best friends, what they were doing for the summer. And just fair warning, most of their parents are going to say, oh, I haven't thought about summer yet. So sometimes it's not very helpful. Although I will say over the years, I was extremely helpful to my kids' best friends because I was like, great, here are our options. And then I would start telling them what the options were. And a lot of them would sign up for whatever camps I had found. So if you have a friend like me, just call them first. Hey, what are we doing on this? And then go from there. The beauty of the box for the summer plan is not only in the planning, because you can usually get that done in one weekend. I would always take a weekend in April and I would map out all of my ideas and I'd do all the Googling and I'd make a plan. The beauty in the summer plan box is what we're going to get to today is being able to work right out of that box all summer long, just grabbing the slash packet out you need for that camp or that week or that child. Now for the graduation party, this one's going to be the most time-bound. Most people plan a graduation party in like 4 to 6 weeks. Very few people plan it over the course of years. So we've just got a couple of weeks here in order to get this done. And this is where you're going to order what needs to be done because you can't mail an invitation until you get it and it has to be printed. You can't get the carpet until your house is measured. You can't, you know, like everything is going to need to be planned. So at first you're going to plan other people's work as much as you can, just like I say in your house. Get your machines working, get your dishwasher going, get your laundry machine going, and then do other things. Same here. If there's a carpet cleaner you need to schedule, if there's a window cleaner that you want to have, if there's a upholsterer that needs to come by, if there's a house cleaner you want to schedule the week of the party, like schedule all of your people as soon as possible. Anything that's not dependent on you, get on the calendar. Now you're going to look at what is left, and you're going to start to do calendar blocking on your calendar. Now, as far as a move,
You're going to have two boxes, one for your old house, one for your new house. Remember, you have a part-time job, which is now moving. So you need to make significant calendar blocks on your calendar. And while for the graduation party, I'm going to be able to specifically tell you what's going to happen inside of those blocks, in a move, some is predictable, some is unpredictable. And for a moving situation, I frankly would just put 2 hours on my calendar every single day, 24/7, until I'm done moving, from, 7 to 9 o'clock at night, or from 4 to 6 in the afternoon, or whatever time could be significant for you, or every single lunch hour, and then from 7 to 8 every night. That's when I focus on the move. If there's nothing to do during that time, great. It's newfound time. I could do something else. But if the realtor has called, or the builder has called, or the insurance agent has called, that is when I'm going to return that call and do that action so that those other people can keep working on my behalf. So here you are looking at your calendar. And you are not very happy with me last time when I said that you needed to put order the invitations on the calendar and then send the invitations and then 3 hours to look for furniture. And you're like, oh my gosh, like this is a little overkill, Lisa. I'm going to go to the store anyway. I will just pick up the graduation stuff when I'm already at the store. I do not need to add another time block onto my calendar. My calendar doesn't need to look like yours, like it's a little Tetris game over there. Like, I don't need that much structure. And I would ask you to do only one project this way and evaluate it. And if it doesn't work for you, then you've tried it and move on. Because it's not until you actually do it this way that you start to see some of the additional efficiencies that you can make in your schedule, and you get the benefit of the planning portion. So often we plan the goal and the outcome and the steps, but we don't put the actual time needed to do the steps on the calendar. Now, I will be honest with you. A lot of times when I put a task on my calendar, I move it. It's not permanent. I use Google Calendar. I can drag it all over the place. I will plan out our summer on paper. I told you that there are party planning printables and there are summer planning printables in your household operations binder. And in your household operations binder, we have this summer planning sheet where you can literally plan out all 11 weeks of your summer on one sheet. So you could see, oh, they're at camp this week. Then we're going to do the library and the free movie day. Then they're at camp this week. So I could see I didn't spend all of my money on camp 3 weeks in a row and then have 4 weeks where there's no camp. I tried to separate out my money so that my kids would be at camp and then they'd have like a home week and then a camp week and then a home week. And you don't notice those things until you put them on paper. Mentally, you cannot see in your head what you could see on a calendar. So I do this in my business every single week. Every Friday, I look at the next 2 weeks and I figure out, when am I going to record podcasts? When am I going to have meetings? When do I have open for meeting with other people? When can I do research? You know, all these kind of things. And I know my energy level. This is huge. What gives you energy? What drains you of energy? I'm actually recording all four of these podcasts in a row because I know that in order to teach this concept to you, it is easier for me to have just recorded podcasts 1, 2, and 3 before I do this one because I remember the stories I told you, the order in which I'm telling them to you, but my voice is starting to give out. Like, I can't do podcast number 5, so I can't do another one. So I know my limit is 4 podcasts in a row. And I also know that if I can record 4 podcasts in a row, the experience on your end is better than if I record a podcast every day. So I batch record my podcasts. I also know that there are some things that if I take the time and I do, like if I'm planning our quarterly goals or I'm thinking about hiring people inside of Organize 365, it is so much more beneficial for me and for our team if I put on my calendar 90 minutes on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to work on that task instead of a 4-hour block of time. I am one of those crazy people that literally could sit down in front of my computer and other than going to the bathroom and getting more coffee, I could sit here for 10 hours and have no problem whatsoever, especially if somebody brings me lunch. I don't need breaks. My brain does not give out. However, just like I told you back in episode 2, thinking about who we're hiring on our team or what the goals are inside of our company, for 90 minutes on Monday, 90 minutes on Wednesday, and 90 minutes on Friday will result in better hires and better goals than if I do a four-hour block of time all at once, because between Monday and Wednesday, I will be listening to podcasts, I will be asking questions about my team, I will be listening to Voxers of my friends, and I'll like, oh yeah, I could do it that way. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. And I'll noodle on it, and then I'll refine it on Wednesday and refine it on Friday. And actually, it's usually best if I make those big decisions on a Monday or Tuesday after I've worked on it the entire week before. In writing my book, when I would write whatever I was writing, I would print it out and I would then read it the next day for editing. When you read something that you have just written and you're not good at editing, like me, you don't see the errors because your brain remembers having just written it or typed it out or spoken it. Whereas if I sleep and I print it out, so I'm not looking on the computer now, now it's on printed paper, and I take it outside the next night after dinner and I read it out loud, I catch 90% more errors in my writing than if I just look at it on the computer right after I finished it and I sent it. And I've learned that for myself. So this time between when you have the idea and when you actually do the implementing, you need to give your brain time. We need to give our brain, we are so used to using our brains as reminders and checklisters and task to-do list things that once you stop using your brain that way, in order for it to have its superpower of synthesizing information, coming up with new ideas, making things stronger, better, faster, more efficient, it needs simulation time from your idea and your to-do that you want to get done to actually being done, especially the higher level the task is going to be. So you reluctantly probably just put a whole bunch of tasks on your calendar in order to achieve your project or goal. Your number one question is probably, Lisa, how do you know it takes 1 hour to order invitations and 90 minutes to address them and mail them out? I don't. This is a game I've played with myself for a long time because I'm an efficiency person as much as I am a productivity person. I'll never forget when I realized that I think this way and other people don't. Joey was a baby and my mom came down to stay with me. I don't think I had Abby at the time. I might have. It doesn't matter. And I had a long legal to-do list of things that I wanted to get done. This is right about the time that I realized that this doesn't really work and I needed to go to the Sunday basket, about the time that I developed the Sunday basket. And I had this whole long list from top to bottom of a legal pad. And on the left-hand column, in pencil, I had all these little numbers, 5, 10, 20, 90, 45. And my mom takes a look at the list and she said, what are all these numbers? I said, oh, that's how long all those tasks take. She's like, what? I was like, don't you do this? She goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. I said, oh yeah. So here's everything that I need to get done. And here's how long everything's going to take. So if I have 20 minutes, I could do 4 or 5 minute tasks. I could do 2 10s. I could do a 15 and a 5. And then my goal is to try to actually get 4 fives done in less than 20 minutes and pick off one more 5 minute task. And she looked at me like I was an alien from Mars. And she was like, what? And I said, you don't know. When you look at your to-do list, you don't know how long everything takes? She said, no, I have no idea how long everything takes. So I realized, this is back in my 20s, I'm odd. I'm an odd bird. This is not normal. As my tasks have gotten bigger, like writing a book or whatever, here's what I could tell you about guessing how long things are going to take. Number one, you're going to be wrong. So just know that up front. It's just a guess. Nobody's coming to check and see how you did. Don't worry about that. Number two, you can get things done faster than you think you can, especially if you're only working on that task and not doing everything else that you do, especially if you're a woman. I am a multitasker. I don't agree with these people who say there isn't multitasking, but I don't multitask at work. Like I'm recording this podcast only, I'm not thinking about anything else. Now, when I go downstairs, I'll change the laundry, I'll do the dishes, I'll make a coffee, I'll talk to Abby, I'll start my lunch, I'll give the dog a pet, I'll let him out. Like, and to me, that's multitasking, which is probably just really task switching very fast. But those are all low-level tasks. Those are all like everyday regular to-dos. When you're thinking about these pieces, these slash buckets that are part of your goal and your project, These are focused tasks. You're not going to stop doing the invitation to go change the laundry and come back. You're not, you know, you want to be uninterrupted as much as possible. So how long do you think it will take you to do that task uninterrupted? Make a guess. And if you're stressed out, add 15 minutes. So I think it's going to take me 30 minutes, but I'm going to say 45. Now for me, I know I'm going to be able to get that invitation done in faster than an hour, but I might put an hour on there anyway because I might want to call Abby and consult her. I have to find the photo, like, and I don't want to be stressed about it. I'd rather overestimate my time and be done early than underestimate my time and be stressed. The other thing I will tell you about time is it's magical. It's totally magical. And your task will expand or contract based on how much time you give it. If you give yourself 2 hours to create your graduation invitation, it will take you 2 hours. If you give yourself 30 minutes, it will take 30 minutes. Now, this is not a hard and fast rule, but it is true. The more time you give yourself to do something, the more time you will research and check and go find other people's invitations and look at multiple suppliers that could provide you invitations. But if you only have 30 minutes, you're like, well, I used Snapfish before, and this looks like a good photo, and there's our text, and ordered, and it's done. So you have to decide how much of that playtime do you want, because the playtime is fun. I'm not saying you can't have the playtime. It can take you 2 hours to make your invitation, especially if you're artistically motivated. I'm not. I'm a very, you know, functional person. So I need to have the right date and time on the invitation, which is a challenge for me. So if I could just get that on the invitation correct, everything else to me is like bonus points. But you may think this is, you know, my last party I'm having for my child and I want to do all these things. It doesn't matter how much time you want to give it. Give it as much time as you want to give it. And then as you do this more and more, if you're good at this already, shave it by 10 minutes. If you're always doing things at 30 minutes, can you do it in 20? There will become a point where you can't. So like recording a podcast takes X amount of time. Writing my book takes X amount of time. Like there are some things that I cannot make them go any faster. And so I need to block that time on the calendar. Okay, so you put all your slash buckets on the calendar and you guessed at how long you are going to do it. Remember, organization is a learnable skill. It is a muscle that we are exercising and we're getting better and better at. So the next project you do, you'll be more accurate in how long you think things will take. It is very rare that I put something on my calendar and I'm totally off. I thought it was going to take 3 hours and it actually takes 10. That is extremely rare now, but it used to happen all the time. As you're mapping this out on your calendar, one of the things you're noticing is planning a graduation party takes at least 40 hours, and you thought it took 4. And this is your reality check, and why a lot of projects and goals don't get done is just because you don't have the quantity of time. You have more time than you think. You could spend your time however you want, but there is a finite amount of time. So there's that balance. Like if you've got young children and you're working full-time and your mom is sick, you're ordering from Chick-fil-A and we're doing the 3-minute video and your friend is going to do the invitation for you and your graduation party is going to be done in 4 minutes or 4 hours. You know, you have to go within the constraints of what your family is. Just because you could plan it this way doesn't mean you have the actual time to pull it off the way that you want to. I want you to hear me. There is no perfect. You are going to finish projects and you are going to accomplish goals, but they are never going to look exactly how you thought they would be when you just brought out a box in step one and said, I'm going to do this goal or I'm going to do this project. Now, once you've done that planning part and you've created your timeline and you've put it on the calendar, you are done with all that needs to be done for the summer plan, for the graduation party, for the move. Now you just need to work your plan. And most people never get to this step. And I think why you don't understand the index cards that I do every night is because your calendar is not as robust and built out as mine is on the back end. Your planning in the Sunday basket should look just like this project and goal. At the end of Sunday, when I say plan out your week on paper or in your Google Calendar, that's when you look at every slash pocket that has to be done before next Sunday and every task that did not get scheduled, and you physically block it out on your calendar. Do errands here, go to the grocery store here, make my phone calls here, follow up with the school about this event here, schedule this meeting here. There should be time blocks on your calendar related to the Sunday basket activities that you did not get done on Sunday. And then from Monday through Saturday, you just work your calendar. It's super, super simple. The night before, so Sunday night, you look at your calendar for Monday, and on Monday it says, have brownie snack ready for school. Do I have that? Okay, I've got that. All right, get the kids on the bus, go to work. At lunch, I'm going to make my phone calls. Then I finish work, come home, we're going to eat this meal. And then from 7 to 9, I'm going to work on this project. I'm going to make the invitations, and I'm also going to let my family know for arrangements, what's coming in. And then from 9 to 10, I'm going to do my bedtime routine. And during your bedtime routine, you make your Tuesday note card. You pull out your Tuesday note card, you look at your calendar, you say, great, Tuesday morning, I have some extra time. I'm going to get up an hour early and I'm going to work on the kids' slideshow. Then I'm going to, and you just write down your plan. And your index card becomes not your to-do list, but it becomes your schedule. Like, remember when you were in school and you went to school and you had math class and then you had reading and then you had recess and then you had lunch and like you had different things that you did in each of those time blocks, but you just went from one activity to the next to the next. You didn't have math and then go, I don't know, do I want to do reading today? Is it a reading kind of day? Or would I rather do this? Oh, shoot. I'm 20 minutes into reading. Well, maybe I'll just put that to the next day. Okay, now I'll do. See, we get out of that structured routine of work in school, especially if we work at home or we are at home like I am. And it's really hard to impose that structure back on us. You would never go to work, go in, check your email, start on project one, and then go, I don't know, should I do project two today? I wonder what the weather is like. Do I need to, like, things we do at home, we don't do at work and school. And so I want you to think about your work week, no matter where it is, whether it's at home, it's at work, it's a flex, whatever, is when you get up, that index card that you made the night before is your schedule for the day. As if you're in sixth grade and you arrived with your backpack and you're just going to go through those tasks all day long. And then at night, the beauty is you get to set the schedule, but there needs to be a schedule. And as long as you do that in your calendar all week long, you're going to end up at the graduation party with your kids home on summer or on moving day, and everything is going to be ordered and go straight on those index cards. Okay. I know that you are still going to have more questions about this process after we have done it. Mary is going to make you an awesome printable that goes along with this that we've been talking about in the outro that you can download for step one, step two, step three, and step four. But some of this is, you know, I often say start with the Sunday basket. The reason why I want you to start with the Sunday basket is it is the most structured program that we have. It has the most education and support. I mean, you could go through your Sunday basket every single weekend with on our Sunday basket club. We have printables. We have online training. Like, there's just, we have certified organizers that will walk you through it in your city. You can go to retreats where you learn how to do it. There is so much support for the Sunday basket. Understanding how to get the ideas out of your head and into a box and process that on the weekend to plan out your week is step one. It will save you 5 hours every week. Like, you'll end up with more time Monday through Friday because you did this on Sunday, more than the time you spend on Sunday also. So you're going to get more time. Once you get more time and you've learned how to do these actionable everyday to-dos, we encourage you to do the 100-day program next. And the reason why we encourage you to do the 100-day program next is because teaching you how to organize a silverware drawer is the same in every country. Like, everybody has silverware. It may look a tiny bit different, but you all have to eat with it, and it all goes in one drawer. So I can teach you, here's how you organize a drawer based on silverware. Now, if you're going to go organize a junk drawer or your office drawer or your medical supplies drawer, you know the components of how to organize a drawer from something that everyone has. I'm building your organizing muscles in the kitchen, then in your master bedroom suite, After you get good at that, then we start going into memories and storage, but we're still dealing with physical objects. Like, I can hold up a stuffed teddy bear on the video and say, stuffed animals, here's what we do with stuffed animals. Shoes, here's what we do with shoes. Bags, here's what we do with bags. And everybody understands what I'm talking about when I say a bag. And you're building those physical organizing muscles, like the elementary school muscles. Now, when we're talking about productivity and setting projects and goals and achieving those, like, we're college level here, possibly graduate level school. And if you don't know how to organize like stuffed animals and like goes with like and how to make decisions of what comes and goes, it's so much harder to make decisions with what comes and goes with your own ideas and then to containerize these ideas into time blocks on your calendar in order to achieve an end result. I can teach you that so much easier in your physical closet where I say, look, all these clothes don't fit in the closet. And you're saying, yes, all these clothes don't fit in the closet and all these clothes don't fit on me. And I could say, great, let's get rid of all the clothes that don't fit on you. Okay, we did that. Okay, let's get rid of all the clothes that you don't like on you. Okay, we did that. Do we have less clothes in the closet? Yes, we have less clothes in the closet. Great. Let's put all the shirts here. Let's put all the pants here. Let's come up with a uniform. Let's talk about seasonality in your wardrobe. You can understand all of that. And physically, you're learning while you're doing. So kinesthetically, your brain and your body are participating in learning how to choose what stays, choose what goes, and how to organize what's left. In these last four podcasts, I had you do that, but it was almost all on an intellectual level. So being able to take the ideas out of your brain and put them in a physical box, I'm trying to show you physically what's going on inside of your head. Then we take those things and we sort them into slash pockets, like you sort your clothes by type. Then we look at those slash pockets and we say, that's great. You want to lose 50 pounds in a week. Probably not going to happen, right? Right. Okay. So we're going to take that slash pocket. We are going to defer or get rid of it. Now we have one less slash pocket to deal with. Now we're going to go slash pocket by slash pocket, shoes, pants, shirts. And in each slash pocket, what order do we want to put these in? And now we are going to put these containers on your calendar. And then we're going to work the plan on the calendar. Do you see how once you've learned how to do it physically, you then can start to learn how to do it mentally. And even how you're doing it mentally, I'm making you do it as tactfully as possible so that you can touch the slash pocket. You can touch the idea. You can visually see your calendar of where your time is going to go before it goes that way. And then the night before, you lay out your schedule and your only job the next day is to run your schedule, to do the schedule that you planned because you mentally put it all on paper, put it in order, eliminated what you could, and put it on there. What happens when the unexpected happens and you cannot do your schedule? It's going to happen often. And instead of getting frustrated, which is what I used to do, you need to build in more margin and you need to know what is optional. So I always plan out my day, overplan my day. I just do it. It's just the way I am. And then when the unexpected happens, I need to know, okay, I'm not going to do that invitation today. I'm going to do it tomorrow, or I'm going to get up earlier to do it tomorrow. Or also, I know what my projects are and they're usually in a portable Sunday basket and they're in the car. So if the unexpected happens and I'm at a doctor's appointment, if we're just sitting in the waiting room waiting, sometimes I can still do whatever that project is because I knew what I was going to do at that time and I was able to grab that thing. You may need to call in reinforcements. You may need to push the date that you're going to have something. You may need to reduce your expectations for the project or the goal, but you're going to know that as you are producing it, you're not going to know that the day before the graduation party, you have 10 hours worth of work and you didn't realize that. And now everybody's stressed out and nobody's happy to be together. And you're not even happy to have the graduation party. And why isn't anybody helping you? And does this sound familiar? Like, by the time we had our graduation party, everything was done the week before. Greg and I each had a list of things to do the day of. It was not very stressful at all. And we really got to enjoy the party and each other because we had done so much of the work in advance. And the way I had it scheduled, we had done so much of the work in advance. In case the unexpected happened, I had bandwidth towards the end of the graduation party to do some of the last minute things last minute, but we didn't have to do them that way. So if you can get your goal or your project done 1 to 2 weeks before the actual deadline, that will then give you more space to move those boxes in. I would love to hear your feedback about what you think about this specific podcast series. If you would like to see more of these, when you see me ask questions on Facebook or Instagram about what you want to see on the podcast, what you want to see in our products, we keep all of those ideas and I'm keeping them in my podcast folder for future. So we love to hear what your ideas are and what you want to hear about next.